You have your Bible, you can turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. Many times you hear people call it the book of Revelations, but it's the book of Revelation. Sometimes you hear somebody say the Revelation of St. John, and it's the Revelation of St. Jesus. In the 19th chapter, you'll find the words. The first four words. And after these things, the Bible has a lot to say about things. The writer of the book of Luke said, you're not to covet, because life does not consist in the abundance of things one may possess. Things can be a wonderful blessing. But when, as long as they're your servant, but when things become your master, then you're in trouble. Money is a very fine servant, but a very brutal master. I'd say that 9 out of 10 are mastered by money and the love of money. I'd say that most preachers are concerned more about getting a budget subscribed and are getting soul saved. I'd say that the average church member is more interested in going to some little place of pleasure than he is to heaven. I mean, that's my conclusion after all these years of preaching. And yet, that which we see with our eyes, feel with our hands, is temporal and ephemeral, and will not last for long. And yet most people live for that which is today and tomorrow is no more. Now Paul said, and Paul didn't own a home, Paul didn't have an automobile, Paul didn't have any train ride, but the only thing Paul had that he could call his own was his experience with the Lord, maybe a pair of old gospel sandals that he wore, some very simple clothes, and yet one day he raised his voice and said, I have all things, I'm abound, I'm full. Now notice, how do you say you have all things? I have all things. Now one day he said, now remember this, if you get the connection, it'll help you. Paul said, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Now, when he had all the things, he had nothing. When he got rid of all the things, he had all things. Is that a puzzle to you? No. He got rid of the worldly things, and then got rid of all the things that he needed. I said that the people there in the 106th Psalm, it was the Israelites, really, and they were traveling toward the Promised Land, and they got what they wanted and missed what they needed. Because he said, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That's what they wanted. They requested a bunch of stuff, a bunch of little silly things. He said, all right, all right. But you're going to be as poor as a snake on the inside. Huh? I'm going to let your spiritual ribs stick out like quilting frames. You little midgets, you, always wanting something besides what you need. That's what's wrong with most of us right now. If you ever get to where you want what you need, I say again, if you ever get to where you want what you need, you can have all you want and all you need at the same time. He said, where'd you get that? Listen, that verse has lived again in my soul. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your need. Well, I've been analyzing that again. Because I'm telling you, I'm facing some needs. I really am. I mean, the needs that we face today are just greater than man can provide. My God! Will supply all your need And listen, the Lord began to talk and said, "What do you need, son?" I said, "Personally, I don't have any except just health and strength and a sound mind." He said, "I can give you that." And sustenance coming from the Lord. He said, "I supply all you need." After all these things, after all these things, you know there's going to come a time when you won't have any things. You won't have anything. Have you ever heard anybody quote that verse in Matthew 6:33? It said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things." Huh? You missed it. You missed it. Man put that in there. God didn't put that in there. You see, man tries to make the kingdom of God and the king, the Lord Jesus, just another thing. Now, God said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and then he said, "all these things." Didn't say all these other things at all. See? That's what people say. And all these other things, just like God's a thing, you know. See? No, no, brother. He's different. He's different. He's different from a watch or a pair of trousers or a hat or a necktie or a dress. He's different. He's somebody. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, now, you know what the righteousness is? Why, dear friends, it's Jesus. He is our righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that's Jesus. Then he said, you can have all the things that you need when you seek him first. When you put first things first, then you can have all things that you need. Well, let's go back to the book of Revelation and read. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah." Did you know that, to me, that offers, it's a prophetic verse. After we get through with these things as Christians, we're going to still say, Hallelujah. And we ought to. I'm going to say it now. You know, the things is the thing that tires me out. God doesn't ever tire me. It's the things. It's not the necessary burdens that get us. It's unnecessary burdens that get us. And after these things, Hallelujah. Now, you know what he's saying? John, you know, is out on the Isle of Patmos. And he's exiled and hadn't been around Christians, and that he's having his greatest experience. The devil banished him and exiled him over to Patmos, and he had his greatest revelation, greatest truth revealed to him. In fact, it was all that had happened, is happening, and shall happen, came to John while he was out there. And so John must have been thinking maybe a good deal about some of the things. He had a hard time. See, the Christians back there in those days, they lived next door to cemetery every day. I mean, they just didn't know. They thought, man, every time the sun comes up, they'll probably get me today. Bless the Lord protects me. I'll lose my head today. A lot of them lost it yesterday. And then, but finally he said, after all of these things, Hallelujah. You know, we don't have many hallelujahs anymore, see, like we ought to. But he said, after these things, all these things, Hallelujah. Well, look at what he's so happy about. Look at that rest of that verse. He said something about salvation, didn't he? Yes, he did. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Well, we sing a song like that, don't we? You feel like singing? Blessings and honor
and glory be thine.
Sing it. Blessings and honor and glory
be thine,
both now and
evermore.
Amen.
Praise him. Let all the saints
adore him.
Praise him. Praise him.
Amen. And blessings
and honor and glory be thine.
And glory
be thine. Blessings and honor and glory be thine, both now and evermore.
Let's all sing it now. Blessings and honor and glory be thine.
And glory be thine.
And blessings
and honor and glory be thine,
both now and evermore.
Praise him.
Let all the saints adore. adore him.
Praise him,
our God is in his soul.
Let him that honor and glory be thine, and glory be thine,
and glory be thine. Yeah, I like that. I tell you, I think every once in a while we'll just burst out in praise. Just praise the Lord. I tell you, we have such formalistic stuff going on sometimes, you know. We have the doxology, you know, and we have one song and a prayer, and we have this, that, and other. I just believe the Holy Spirit ought to ask us to praise Him anytime. We ought to be ready. We ought to be constantly ready to praise the Lord. And I believe that every Christian ought to at least put on one concert a day for Jesus. That's right. I mean, you ought to have concerts of praise. The Bible said, let everything have what? Yeah. Praise who? Praise the Lord. That's right. Now then, he said salvation and honor. You notice everything is good there. He said the salvation and glory and honor, power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. That's his word. He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Mm-hmm. You know what that verse said to me? God didn't get even with him. You ever heard that? Yes, sir. Sometimes, you know, man, I've seen him in the jail, and I've seen all you talk about bitter. He said, listen, I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I do. I said, it'll probably be about the last thing you'll ever do. I said, when you get out and you try to get even, once the old goats have got you in trouble, see, they're going to get you, they'll either kill you or send you to sentence for life. And I said, I wouldn't waste my time on them at all. I just asked God to forgive me and them and ignore them and go on to heaven. I don't know of anything much worse than unforgiveness. Just nursing the grudge. You know we have to watch it, don't we? Yeah, we really do. Because after all of us in the same, wouldn't it be foolish if me and Brother Raymond and old Brad and old Nick back there, and we decided we were going fishing, see? And we got out in the, you know, out in Baffin Bay, and Mike, about in the middle of it, and the wind was blowing, and the waves was rolling, and Brother Raymond was driving the boat, and I said, I don't like the way you're driving. Can't you find smoother road? I mean, you know, can't you find a freeway around here somewhere to get on? And he looked back at me. He said, I'm doing the best I can. I said, I still don't like it. I said, I'm bouncing all over the thing. I mean, my teeth are rattling. And I mean, it's just horrible. And I just finally get so mad at him, you know what I do? I got my old shotgun. I said, get in there, I shoot a hole in the boat. And boom! I shot a big hole through the bottom of the boat. I said, that'll get him. In fact, it dawned on me that I was in the same boat with him. Huh? Are you listening? Amen. We're in the same boat, honeys. Y'all shoot a hole in the bottom of the boat, we may all go down. But I tell you, we've got to work together. That's right. We've got to pull together. Or we may pull apart. And we've got things to do. And that's some adjustments to be made. But you know what? I believe when you get to heaven, I don't care how close you live to Jesus, I believe you're going to have to make a few adjustments when you get there. Because it's going to be wonderful. One of the things going to help me to make them, I'm going to have a new body to make them in. Well, I'd hate to think I'd drag this thing off the glory, wouldn't I? Hey, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be something? They'd drag it in a time. I'd say, Lord, couldn't you give me something besides just to look at it? I'd say, I wore that thing out down there, and I mean, if you just give me something that won't ever get tired. And he said, oh, yeah, I got a body. It's made like in this glorious body. I said, that's what I want. That'll be it right there. And I said, I went in my bed. I went in my bathtub. I went that old silly razor. I went that old shaving cream. I get so tired of it. I don't know what to do. Going through all that rigmarole every day, doctoring up the old silly flesh. Praise God, when I get my new body, I won't ever have to dress up. I'll stay dressed up. Amen. Or no shoe polish. That's right. Listen, just think of being pretty all the time for the Lord. Think about, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Oh, to delight to be singing. Oh, to delight to be blessed, Redeemer, just as pure as thou. Amen. Come and die. Thy sweetness comes, bring thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's the smoke of judgment. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And now then, verse 6, now it is with the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, we ought to get adjusted to the right kind of dress down here, because we've got to wear it when we get home. I mean by that, we've got to be dressed in spiritual dress. We've got to appear to God as one that's beautiful in Him. And so, the world is so wrong that when you be right, they think we're wrong. But you see, their fruits won't stand the test. They're not happy. They're miserable. I wouldn't want to follow somebody if he's going to wind up at the wrong place. Would you? I wouldn't care how hard the trip is if I was going to wind up at the right place. I wouldn't want a palace just because it was easy. I wouldn't want to, I want my life to be disciplined, see? You know, the easiest thing I know in the world to do is just go to hell. Look, ever anybody say, well, what would I have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just go ahead the way you're going. If you're not Christian, just don't ever do anything with Jesus, see? Anything that's worthwhile is going to be difficult. And it's going to be misunderstood by the world. But he said, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now then, I want to give you something and close the message. He said in this next verse, and this is the reason I know I'm blessed. He said unto him, Right, blessed are they which are called on the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now that's the reason I know I'm blessed. I've been called. I've got a special invitation. Now, I've never been invited to the White House. But I've been invited to go to heaven. I've been invited. Now, they have the President's Ball, you know, and the President's Dinner and all that kind of thing. I've been invited, and I'm blessed because I've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Every Christian here has a special invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they that have been called. God's put two calls on my life, and both of them are precious. One of them had to come first. And this is a universal call that's come to every person who's ever been saved. That's the call of salvation. I got called. You say, how'd he call you? Through the preaching of the Word of God. You know, I'm amazed at the worldliness that we find around the churches. It just reminds yourself of this. When you compare that kind of stuff with the Bible, say with the Bible instead of that kind of stuff. And let that upset you at all. Just go and just know that the Lord put the church in the world and the devil put the world in the church. And he's trying to make the church look just like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, dress like the world. Really, I never have. I mean, I never dreamed that I'd see little old girls wearing shorts and ladies wearing men's clothes in the sanctuary in the churches of our land. As far as I'm concerned, it's a disgrace to God. But holiness becometh the saints. Not self-righteousness now, but I mean real spiritual holiness. And I'm surprised that we'd ever get so far away from the Lord. Many years ago, I started in the town to preach a meeting with the old tent. And I'll tell you, we had some time in that city. That's when one of the religious leaders came and walked down the aisle under that tent. But I went in a church where he was having sort of a meeting and down in the basement, and I never had really seen this, and that's been many years ago. It's common now. But I saw cigarettes all over that basement. And just a flock of cigarettes on the various tables that had lipstick on them. Women and men sitting around the basement of the church smoking. Now then, across the country, they're having coffee and cigarette smoking while the teachers are teaching Sunday school class on Sunday morning. Just saw a little fraternal club. And in one place, they told me about it. They all recommended that they go see a picture show. And so they saw a picture show, and the Sunday school lesson, the next Sunday, was the comments on what they thought about the picture show. Great Bible teaching. I want to have Jesus' stomachs that kind of fail. He said the judgment's coming, and he calls that word that's not very nice. I mean, W-H-O-R-E. He said, I'm coming after. I'm going to get even with her. He said, now, wait a minute. Get her off now. You know he's talking about the Catholic Church. Let me tell you something. He's talking about every church that's played the harlot in this world. And every preacher that flirted with the devil and didn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, judgment, and that smoke's going to be ascending up from that illicit and horrible place. I realize that there are certain big religious organizations that have mothered a lot of the sin and a lot of the filth and all of that. But I tell you, any preacher or any church that doesn't preach the gospel and get people saved, he's going to give an account.